This is A Mexican Crossing Lines. You've been listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airways. Hello and welcome to A Mexican Crossing Lines with your host, Cindy Gomez-Shemp. And also with me, I have at the engineering table, Nemo Cicados. Thanks for helping me out.
Good evening.
Did everybody want to say hi to Nemo just for a second? He's right over there. He's very, very nervous. He's been doing a pretty good job of helping us get all these shows into a new format. I think we can all agree that it works a little bit better than the way that we were doing our live streams before. So hopefully we'll do a good job for you today as well. And if you're just tuning in, I am giving today an urgent update on Mary Trujillo, the elder woman involved in the case of Kathleen Bennett. Mary Trujillo's daughter, who's been charged with elder abuse, according to a Bismarck Tribune article. I called it a propaganda piece in which she is accused of abusing her mother in a horrific fashion. I want to share that article with you on our live stream so that you can have it. For those of you who are listening to the show, you can go to kpppfm.com and find all of the links along with this show as well as all of our other shows about this topic. And I do encourage you to do that. You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We're also broadcasting online, so if you are outside of the Fargo-Moorhead region, you can always listen at kpppfm.com. Just click on the Listen Live link. If you would like to call us, leave us a tip or a comment, you can call our message line. You have about 3 minutes to share your ideas, comments, questions with us, and we will play them on the air if you ask us to. If you really don't want that to happen, make sure that you mention that at the beginning of your call. I do not want this to be broadcast. And of course, we will not do that if you request it that way. At media underscore PPP, or you can email me at Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com. You can follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, also at the People's Press Project and Mexi-Can. For those of you who want to get to know more about the news that I follow and have conversations with me personally about what matters in my news feed, you can go to my fan page by searching at Cindy Go Shemp. That's at Cindy Go Shemp. S-C-H-E-M-P-P. Two P's at the end. So today, I want to start off by directing you to the story that we have been talking about on Kathleen and her family. And we've talked about this family a lot. We've showed you pictures of the family so that you can get to know what Kathleen and her mom and Russell look like. We've also showed you pictures of our interviewees like Jesse Sankey and Josh Long and others. These are real people that were at Standing Rock, families that have a long history. Russell's family in particular has a history of great importance to this fight and to this stand at Standing Rock, because Mary is one of the only survivors, one of the only surviving descendants of the Wounded Knee Massacre, of the original Wounded Knee Massacre. This woman has lived an extraordinary life. according to her grandson, Mary grew up in the boarding school system. For those of you who are not familiar with that, please watch the documentaries about what was done to Native children in that boarding school system. Those children were systematically disengaged from their indigeneity. They were taught to speak only English so that they would forget their language. They were forced to change the way that they dressed, the way that they wore their hair. They were assimilated. This was a time when we believed in this country, when our government believed that the only good Indian was a dead Indian, that we needed to kill the Indian inside and save the man. So as you can imagine, this woman, Mary Trujillo, has lived a life of survival, of resistance, of human dignity. That is how she has lived her life up until now. Because in her elder years, her family decided to allow her to continue to live in the same way that she's always lived, with that dignity, that rejoicing in life. And they took her with their family to Standing Rock. When they were there, they were separated on December 17th as medic and security members from the camp came to their tarpee and told them that Mary needed to be taken to the hospital. They told the medics and the security team told both Kathleen and her grandson, Russell, that she needed to be taken to be checked out at the hospital, which they complied with. And later on December 23rd, which is my birthday, and I remember it very vividly, I received frantic calls from Russell and from his mother begging for assistance, for help, telling me that Mary was taken from them, that they were told to leave the hospital, St. Alexius Hospital in Bismarck, that they were in the middle of a conversation with Mulaney when it happened. And as I recall the conversation, Russell says that they were in the hospital with their grandmother, as they had been for days since the 17th, and that Mulaney had been dropping in. She had portrayed her drop-ins to check on Mary as part of her visits to other people at the hospital, not exclusive to just visiting Mary, but, you know, simply a coincidence that, you know, she happened to be there, so she decided to stop in and visit Mary too. And on this day, on December 23rd, she started asking questions about Mary's clothes size and shoe size and trying to find out what else she needed. And Russell and his mother, Kathleen, assured Mulaney that they didn't need anything more, that she was in a hospital and couldn't wear clothes or shoes anyway right now, and that they had everything that she needed, so that wasn't necessary. And as they tried to make it clear that Mulaney's visit, while welcome, was intrusive, and that while her well-intended questions of concern were appreciated, that they too were intrusive and none of her business as a non-family member that has no medical connection to this case. She informed the family at that time that she had emergency guardianship over Mary and that they needed to leave. This was the call that was made to me on December 23rd by Russell and his mother. And they were frantic. The first thing I asked them to do was to find out if it was true. I said, so this woman, Mulaney Stoneman, you claim she says she has emergency guardianship over your grandmother. Did she show you said emergency guardianship? Did you see it? Did you look at it? And he said, no. When they started asking questions, they were basically escorted out of the hospital by security. So I told him, well, I would ask for some verification of this. And, you know, the hospital also should have a patient representative that may be able to answer questions, or at least somebody you could file a complaint about the treatment that you're getting and the way in which the hospital is failing to explain, you know, their basic due diligence in telling you what's going on. And Russell did actually go back to the hospital on December 23rd to actually videotape what the response was like at the hospital. And we'll be taking a look at that in just a moment. But I wanted to share with you where you can find all of my interviews thus far, all of the information that I have been collecting about this case. It is a lot. I know some of you have said that, you know, you've listened to part one and two, but you haven't gotten to parts three and four, and there are more parts coming. But you should definitely go and catch up if you don't know where all of that stuff is. Nemo, you could maybe show them where they can find all of these stories on our website. All you need to do is go to kpppfm.com and then go to the Standing Rock updates. There's a tab at the top for Standing Rock updates. And when you click on that, it will give you all of the stories that we've been doing about Standing Rock. Among them is this one, A Mexican Crossing Lines, our in-depth special report, multi-part report with interviews that include my interviews with Melanie Stoneman, as well as Bill Runningfisher, the person listed in the Bismarck Tribune article that I referenced earlier, which was dated January 5th, written by Carolyn Gruskin of the Bismarck Tribune. And if you go to this website on kpppfm.com, you'll be able to go and listen to all of our past updates and catch up to where we are now. And I can't catch you up on everything, but what I can tell you, what is most important for you to know right now in regard to this report, is that Melanie Stoneman, the woman that has taken guardianship, emergency guardianship of Mary Trujillo currently, is a person that has misrepresented who she is, not just to Mary's family, to Kathleen and to Russell, but to everybody at camp. She has stated on numerous occasions that she is a medic, that she is part of the medic team. She represented herself as someone who had the ability to come and go from people's tents and tarpees, checking in on them because she was there to do a welfare check. Sounds medical, doesn't it? It sounds as if this person who touted themselves with a fake history of being a person with a medical background was able to get into people's homes at Standing Rock because of this lie. She misrepresented herself to the public as well. In fact, we found a video because in my interview, my first interview with Melanie Stoneman, I asked her point blank because Bill Runningfisher had told me that she was part of the medic team and I had been told that she was a medic. So when I asked her, what is your role at the camp? She first told me that she didn't have a specific role. And then when I got more direct and asked her, are you part of this medic group or I don't know what you call yourselves, a women's medic group or something like that? She gave me a really convoluted answer that said that they have a women's society. And then finally, when I asked her point blank, what is your background? Do you have an RN? Do you have a medical degree? Are you an EMT certified or not? You know, what is your training? She said nothing. Nothing. Okay, so I want for you guys to hear how she represented herself in this Vimeo video that we shared before. See if you can cue that up for us. And you'll hear very clearly that she says that she is a medic. She's talking about being on the bridge the night of November 20th and being a physical witness as a medic that she and other people were targeted. Here we go.
There are women. And if you were blonde, had blonde hair, and they could see it, they targeted you. And I'm a medic. And they targeted us. And they targeted my friend. So with that being said, in that part of that forgiveness, we can't hang on to that anger for very long. We have to let forgiveness happen today. As a mom being here and my daughter being security and my son being security, over and over I watch the tapes, and it's very disheartening. And even though I forgive and watch my son be hit by battalions and watch my daughter crawling around on the ground crying for her mom, it still breaks my heart today that they could do that to our children. But I still have forgiveness in my heart. I was taught to forgive and pray for those who hurt us, and it may even be our enemy.
Yes, it may even be our enemy. What's really shocking when I hear this is that I have to wonder if there is anything honest about what she has said, because she point blank told me, I have no medical background. And as you heard with your own ears right now, Melanie Stoneman in that video says, I'm a medic. And they targeted medics that day. And then she starts crying and tells this very personal and emotional story about her children being in the security and all of this crazy stuff. I cannot verify whether any of that is true. Nobody even knew that Melanie had kids on the security team. I don't even know if that's true. I don't know. I know for a fact that she's not a medic. I know that Bill Runningfisher never saw where he claims to have found Mary, because he said it was a drab olive green army tent. And as you all saw, it was a white round tarpy with a wood burning stove in the middle. The things that are very clear to me are what is not true, what is not possible. And I can tell you right now that the stories that have been told by Melanie Stoneman and by Bill Runningfisher, along with many other people that I have interviewed, L'Oreal Blackshaw, I can tell you what is true. What is true is that right now, Kathleen is sitting in a jail still. Right now, she has to come up with $10,000 cash only in order to be bonded out, in order to begin the process of reconciling, of being with her family, of being with her mother, with her son. I can tell you right now that Mary is in a hospital. Well, actually, I can't tell you that for sure. We're going to talk about that more. We're going to try to figure out what is going on with Mary. But let me tell you this. One thing that you can do, one thing that each and every one of you can do to help to bring justice for Kathleen and to reunite her with Mary and with her family is to donate for the expenses of the legal battle that these folks are facing right now. This is one of the most cruel and unfair situations that I have had to report on in my life. And it is incredible to me that even though we have shared with you all so much information that clearly disputes every part of the Bismarck Tribune story, here we sit in this situation where Kathleen is still in jail and her family is all separated and Mary is separated from her family. So let me tell you first what Russell was doing on December 23rd, because Russell, I looked at Melanie Stoneman's Facebook page, and you can go and find it. In fact, I will have it shared with all the folks out there, so you can go and find it and check out what's on her page. But if you go to her profile and check out what's going on Melanie's page, you will find a video from December 23rd. I told you what Russell was doing December 23rd and what Kathleen were doing December 23rd. And I can also tell you what Melanie was doing on December 23rd. She was at a Christmas party with Santa and toys, and she was talking about how we are supposed to care as Indigenous people, how we are thankful for our elders, for our family members, and how important they are to our lives. Go check it out. That's what she was talking about while she was denying family members the right to see their elder. And on that day, Russell went to the hospital to try to find out, to ask why he could not see his grandmother, why his mother could not see his grandmother. Could they be shown the documentation, the guardianship that they claim to have? Could somebody show them a copy and proof that this was even true? That you can just rip a family member away from another family member with no legal documentation whatsoever? It seems incredible to me. There must be some protocol for doing that, even in a hospital. So he went in. I want you to cue up that video for me. Tell me when you got it ready. I'm going to show you. I showed it once before, but I want you to see this in order. And I want you to be thinking about the cruelty heaped on pain that this family has had to go through. Remember back to what you were doing around December 23rd through the 25th. How was your time around your family and your loved ones? Because I can tell you, this family was not doing okay. You ready? Yes. Oh, you have it ready? Okay, here it is. This is Russell going to the hospital to try to find out why he cannot be close to his grandmother. And there's a little video, there's a piece of it in there where he actually does get to see her momentarily, just steps away from him, but he's not allowed to talk to her or check on her. Go ahead and roll it.
All right, here we are about to enter the hospital where they are holding my grandmother. I don't want to say too much, but we'll see how they react with me being here. Right now, my grandmother, Mary Trujillo, being kept here, what we think is being treated medically. And the lady named Melanie Stoneman of the Women's Council at the Ocheti Shakoan camp has basically taken legal guardianship. And I want to prove, one, if the document is legitimate, because she forcibly removed us earlier, called security once she realized our intentions. And that is to take our grandmother home. Take my grandmother home, my mom's mom, and just get her home safe. You know, it's what we wanted from the jump. And right now I'm going to be recording this, and I'm hoping to get what I need and we can go from there. But I'm willing to assume this won't go well, but I'm going to make sure I have this proof. Bear with me. I just wanted to start recording really early because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if they're going to kick me out, which they probably will. And yeah, I want to see if I can get the proper documentation. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, we're in the hospital now. He's on the third floor in telemetry.
Going up.
And we're going to see. Only have 15 minutes on this video, so I'm hoping I can get what I need in that time frame.
Third floor.
Can I speak with someone? Hello. I'm here to basically get some information. Earlier I was removed.
Okay.
On my grandmother. We wanted to basically see the documentation that this lady's claiming she has, the legal guardianship she acquired today apparently.
Okay.
And I need the nurse involved, her supervisor, and your public relations.
Well, as of this time, I don't think I can give you any information at all because she now has a legal guardian and you also can't videotape.
Oh, I can. Legally, I can. Definitely can. What's your name, ma'am? Let's see here.
Actually, I'll just call security.
All right. We'll have them recorded, too. So they have failed to give me anything I need, which is awesome. And now they don't want to be recorded because they know they might get in trouble. I'm going to wait for security so I can get that on video too. And there's my grandmother. Let's hope they get here in 5 minutes. Here is the director, Paul Milner. I assume they'll come up the elevator?
Just wait right there.
I'll meet them at the elevator.
Okay.
I'll be right there for them. See here. Where are they? Their faces too. Nope, not them. I won't record anyone I don't need to. Fortunately, the security response time is very slow.
What's up? Yeah, I did.
One day they'll get here. Perfect. We'll go right with you. These are the gentlemen here. Come on.
It's me you need.
For?
To escort me out.
Going down.
I was here earlier.
Okay, well, before we do, step off. Let's, I need to talk with the nurses first.
All right, let's talk. I'm not supposed to be here. My grandmother is one of the patients, and because the lady has legal guardianship, I cannot be here. So I just came to find out if the document is even real and if this is really going on right now, you know?
Going in tonight.
Well, she just, they had an emergency guardianship,
and the
guardian now has control over everything, and she said they can't be here anymore, so they can't be here.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right.
Yeah.
I apologize, you guys have to do this. I needed to do this as well for what I'm going to do. So, but I won't give you any trouble. I'll leave perfectly fine. I just had to do this particular thing, so. My attorney advised me to do this, so.
Just for us, just to protect everybody's privacy. I mean, it's a huge HIPAA issue. If you just want to have the camera pointed at the floor.
Oh, it's pointed at the floor right now, yep.
Are you filming now?
No. Well, I am, but no one, none of your faces. But I need to show that I'm being forcibly removed from the property. Like
yeah,
I said,
but you technically
it's down.
Can't film when the...
Well, that's not what my attorney would agree with.
Well, you have to get permission from the hospital to film here.
I can't get anything from the hospital.
Well, unfortunately, you're going to have to turn that off.
All right, so I will turn it off right now.
I understand what's going on, but unless you have permission from the hospital, you're either allowed to film inside or outside.
All right.
That's then. Going down.
You hear this nurse or person at the desk tell him, basically, that she doesn't have to tell him anything. Well, she may not have to tell him anything about Mary if there's a guardianship in place, but she can direct him to their public relations person. He has a right to make a complaint about how he was treated, how his mother was treated, how this process took place. The hospital has some accountability as well as to how they went through this procedure. Hospitals also have to implement guardianships, emergency or otherwise. They have a liability to do these things in a way that does not cause harm to either the patient or the people around them. And I believe that the way in which they've handled things is very, very questionable. I mean, to tell someone that you will not even provide them the proof. Imagine somebody walks in, takes one of your children, takes your mother, takes your grandmother, and tells you, get out of the hospital. You're no longer allowed to be here. And I'm not going to prove to you that I am who I say I am. I don't have to show you any documentation of my authority to do this. I'm just going to do that to you. I mean, even police show you their warrants. Even in the court systems, they have to show you the evidence. The hospital can just kick you out and they don't have to show you anything or tell you anything. That is weird. That is really strange to me. It doesn't make any sense. So in addition to that, on Christmas Day, which is Mary's birthday, on Christmas Day, Kathleen tried to call to see if they could go and see their mother. Remember, keep this in mind. According to these folks, Mulaney and Bill, and apparently the people at the hospital or the people with Morton County doing this investigation, Kathleen is accused of being an abuser. Kathleen is being accused of abusing her mother and being a danger to her own mother. So much so that she is arrested and in a jail. But when Russell and Kathleen went to the hospital on December 17th, they were allowed to hang out with her for several days. This imminent danger was allowed to hang out and visit and be there for several days. If it's true what the Bismarck Tribune printed, that Bill Running Fisher found Mary on December 6th and reported it to Captain Preble of the Morton County Sheriff's Department, who was so helpful and who sent an ambulance that took her to the casino and that's where she got lost. If any of that were true, why on earth wasn't anything set in motion to protect Mary from her daughter until December 23rd? December 23rd. It doesn't really make any sense. But let me share with you what does make sense. When you listen to her family members, when you listen to Russell, even when you hear from Melanie Stoneman, these people were in shock. They were upset and they were in shock because their family member was being ripped away from them and no one was giving them an explanation why. No one would even tell them why. I want you to play the video of Kathleen trying to call St. Alexius Hospital to talk to her mother to wish her a happy birthday on Christmas Day, Mary Trujillo's birthday. Listen, please.
This is Erin. How can I help you?
Yes, I was just calling to see how my mom is doing.
Who am I speaking with?
Kathleen Bennett, Mary J. Trujillo.
Okay, I actually can't give any information over the phone unless it's approved by the Guardian right now.
Okay, so today's her birthday and Christmas, so I won't be able to see her?
Correct.
Alrighty, thank you so much.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, that just sounded so... It made me angry. I mean, I realize that this nurse is given, or this person answering the phone is given an order. Like so many people, we always say, they're just doing their jobs. They're just doing their jobs. But I cannot imagine having to spend Christmas and Mary Trujillo's birthday. It was her birthday, with nothing from her family. No call, no hug, no present, nothing. They weren't even allowed to talk to her. I mean, if she posed a threat to her daughter, why couldn't even Russell talk to her? Why did they have to remove him as well? How does this young man, who Melanie herself said was trying to help, who was the voice of reason, who was helpful, and she didn't really think he had anything to do with any of this, why is he also being denied access or contact with his grandmother? It is mind-boggling, but this is what the most mind-boggling and destructive part of all of this is. Mary Trujillo continues to be in the hands, in the guardianship of Melanie Stoneman. I don't even know if that's her real name, but she continues to be under the care of this woman who told us she was a medic in a video we just saw. Told the public that she was a medic in articles, represented herself as a medic, but lied. A person, Bill Running Fisher, who has stated that he found Mary in these deplorable conditions, but hasn't got a shred of proof, not a picture, not a video, nothing, out of a camp where every single person had phones and cameras and people were constantly live streaming and taking pictures. But people like Bill Running Fisher, who was the platoon leader of the medic team for the camp security, whatever he called himself, didn't gather a shred of evidence at all. The guy that reported this to Morton County on December 6th, on December 17th, the guy who claims that he is part of Eagle Child Consulting Company enforcement and consulting services that has to do with law enforcement, and you gather no evidence, you don't take a single picture, you don't write down the names of all of the witnesses, nothing? I mean, that's some 101 fails right there. How can you fail so miserably at gathering any evidence of what you claim was done to this woman? Well, let me tell you, the most disturbing part of all of this has been my recent call with Mulaney on January 19th. There are several calls. Three, I think. Anyway, I'm not going to play them all for you today because my purpose here today is to remind you of the urgency of what is happening to this family and to give you this update about what Mulaney told me. Among the many things that she tells me in her latest interviews, which I said I'm not going to share the entirety of because they're over an hour and a half long, and I wanted to keep this focused on the story of Mary Trujillo and Kathleen Bennett and Russell Vasquez and what is happening to them right now, and not getting into all of the other things that she said and he said and L'Oreal said and all of these other things that she wanted to talk about. But exclusively, she called to tell me that Mary is not doing well and that she could die. That's what she told me, and I want you to listen carefully to how she says it. It's very matter of fact. It shocked the hell out of me. Let's play the audio, please. This is Mulaney Stoneman.
Mary in a nursing home?
And no, she's here at the hospital. She's probably going to remain here, and I don't know how time she has, but it's very, very limited.
What do you mean time? Her health is failing right now, or what?
Yes, her health is failing.
Is she dying?
Yes.
What?
Yes. We almost lost her last Saturday. They called me and...
This is horrific. This is horrific, Mulaney, because she was under the care of her family. She was doing fine.
No, she wasn't doing fine.
She's dying now. She was doing just fine. There's a lot of witnesses that saw her on December 6th, and many witnesses that of her family and the people around her that were at the camp that knew that she was just physically and emotionally fine.
No, she wasn't.
As you can hear, she's telling me, because she said that Mary was put in comfort care. And I said, you hear me ask, what, is she moved to a nursing home? And she says, no, she's still in the hospital. She will probably remain there. And then she tells me that what this means is that Mary is dying. And in fact, she tells me that the prior weekend, they almost lost her, meaning she almost died. I swear I almost lost it. My heart literally sank to the floor when I heard her say this. Yep, she's still at the hospital. Yep, she's in comfort care now. She's dying. Yeah, she's just dying. I'm beyond horrified at what this could mean for Mary. And I'm heartbroken for Kathleen, because Kathleen is sitting in a cell and she can't do anything to help her mother. We need to get her out of there immediately. I needed to tell all of you this because I think that it's imperative that as many people try to find out what the status is of Mary at St. Alexius. That is what I tried to do as soon as I heard about this. I want you to queue up my call to St. Alexius. Simply trying to inquire if Mary is there and what is her status. That's it. Any reporter, any person from the public can call a hospital and say, is John Q. Public at this hospital? Yeah, what room is he in? Can you patch me through to his room? I'd like to say hello. I'd like to have some flowers delivered to, you know, J.R. Ewing or whatever. You can do that unless there's some specific restriction. And as I want you to hear, when I call the hospital, I specifically ask them if there's some reason why they're not telling me the information, like it's restricted or something. And I also specifically ask them if Mary was moved or removed from the hospital, if that's possibly why they don't see her as a patient at the hospital. And you'll hear them tell me that she was not a patient there. Okay, here we go. This is my call to St. Alexius on the same day, the 19th, that Mulaney called me.
CHI, St. Alexius Health. This is Trista. How can I help you?
Hi, I'm trying to inquire about patient Mary Trujillo.
How do you spell the last name?
Oh, sure, sorry. J-I-L-L-O.
I'm not showing anybody by that name.
You're not showing anybody by that name? Let me see.
I'm not.
Let's check the spelling. T R U J I L L O.
No, I don't have anybody by that name.
Really? Okay. Was she a patient that was released already?
I guess I don't have that information. I don't show that.
But if she was a patient there, you would show that or no?
Yes, I would.
Okay, because I'm just like, what? Am I calling the wrong hospital? This is St. Alexius, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, I was told she's here. And you said that if she wasn't listed there, if she was, released, then there would be a record of her having been there, right?
Right.
Okay, Is there another St. Alexius in the region that I'm missing or something? Like,
I don't believe so.
What? I am so confused right now. Okay. All right. Is there any other way that this could be explainable? Because I know she was sent to this hospital.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure what to tell you.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
So, you can clearly hear that I ask her, is there any other reason why she wouldn't appear as a patient? And she's like, I don't know, I can't help you. And you just heard, right before that, I played the clip where Mulaney tells me she's at the hospital because I asked her, did she get moved to a nursing home? She confused me when she said that she was in comfort care. So I'm like, what does that mean? Is that the name of a nursing home she's been moved to, or she's in comfort care? You know, it sounds like a nursing home or something. She told me that no, she's at the hospital, and that's probably where she will remain. Same day, she told me that she's there, and I talked to her again later, and she again confirmed. I asked her, why is the hospital not telling me that she's there? Why are they saying that she doesn't even exist as a patient? And her response was that she has no idea. Maybe there are other reasons. But she assures me that she is in this hospital. I am not anybody related to this family. So they should be able to tell me that whether or not the woman is even there, you know, confirm. There's a real concern here when someone calls you and tells you someone is dying in their care, right? For the family, for all of the people that are our listeners and viewers. I have had so many contacts from all of you asking what's going on. Is Mary okay? Is Kathleen out of jail? No, things are not okay. Things are not okay. And she's not out of jail. And this is a very upsetting situation for everybody involved. I wanted you to get Josh on the line here, see if Josh can give us a call. Josh, if you and Russ could give us a buzz right now, that would be awesome, because I'm about to play the phone calls that Josh and Russell made recently, trying to find out and do everything that we can, that they can, as people that have knowledge of the situation, people that have information, people that have a heart, people that have a soul, people that have concern for Mary Trujillo and for her daughter, Kathleen Bennett. What can we do? How can we move this situation forward so that this family can be reunited, so that this woman can be out of the jail? That's what we need to have happen now. That's why we need to have you guys donate, whether it's $50 or $5. It doesn't matter. Every little bit counts. We need to get her out of the jail as soon as possible. And we also need legal support so that the guardianship situation can be corrected. Because right now, as you've heard, this woman, Mary Trujillo, is in the hands of Melanie Stoneman, a person who, since she has been in her care, Mary's health has deteriorated, it seems to me, quite rapidly. And if you will recall, I made the statement very early on in my interviews that a person in this fragile of a state, in this fragile of a mental condition and physical age, that they need to have very supportive living environments, constant contact with their loved ones, as they had, as Mary had, as Kathleen and Russell had with their grandma Mary, on a regular, daily, 24-hour basis. And people that are not in those environments, especially people with dementia, can decompensate very quickly as a result. And I believe that her situation is very critical, and it has become critical as a result of being in the care of Melanie Stoneman. Because what I have heard from the witnesses that I spoke to in her family and those people that were just as camp is that she had excellent care from her daughter and from her grandson. Everybody that's been here to talk about how Russell and Kathleen cared for Mary have told you, whether it was Josh Sankey, the EMT, whether it was Josh Long and his girlfriend, whether it was Russell's girlfriend, whether it was Robin Gage, the veteran that came to the stand for Standing Rock from California, who witnessed Mary and Kathleen at the casino on December 6th, the day that Bill Running Fisher claims he found her and saved her. All of these folks will tell you the love, the patience, the kindness, the care with which this family, with which Russell and Mary, Russell and Kathleen cared for Mary. And yet, here we have this situation where Mary has been separated from her family. Kathleen is in jail on, I can't find the evidence of what they put her in there for. I can't understand why she is even in there right now. But that is the situation that we are in. She is still in a jail awaiting for the money that she needs to get out on bail. And also, we are waiting to have this guardianship taken out of the hands of Melanie Stoneman so that she can be reunited with her family. Okay, we're going to have, hopefully here in a second, Russ and Josh call in, and we will play their call. Can you queue up the phone call that Josh Long, yep, to Morton County, because as we learned, Josh Selly is the guy that was doing the interviews. It looks like my my special guests are having some trouble with their phone call. Let's just go ahead and roll. We may not be able to have them on today, and I apologize for that. You can find them in the comments section if you guys want to comment in the comments. That can work too. We'll just we'll keep trying. Like I said, if you guys can't get on the call, make sure to comment on the comment section, and I'll read those for my viewers. But let's play, because this is what anyone that has information that witnessed this family together caring for Mary Trujillo, what they have done is they've contacted the Morton County Sheriff's Department, Josh Selly, to tell that officer from Morton County what they know, how this could add to the conversation and to the investigation. You know what? We have no contact right now on our phone call with Josh and Russell. I'd like to have them be able to comment on this since we're having some technical difficulties right now. What I will do is I will have them call in at another time and we will share those with you. But let me just tell you what happened, okay? So that you get the skinny. I wanted you to hear the calls, but we're not going to be able to play them right now. But here's what we will do. I want you to know that on January 20th, Josh did call Morton County Sheriff's Department, Josh Selly, and he told him that he's a witness and that he has information about this case, and he requested that he give him a call back as soon as possible, immediately if possible, right? So here's the problem. Josh hasn't gotten a call back yet. I was told by Robin Gage on the telephone the other day. I did try to contact her today. I wanted to have her on the show. And if Robin, if you're watching or if you see this later, I'd like to have you back on the show so you can tell us how your calls went, not only to the Morton County Sheriff's Department, but other calls that she made. I believe she called adult services, that, you know, the Human Services Department here in North Dakota to report elder abuse, as well as calling Morton County Sheriff's Department and the newspaper, the Bismarck Tribune. She talked to the reporter, Carolyn Gruskin, about her article. And she told her what she thought of the reporting and asked her some hard questions. I can share with you that she told me that this reporter was very defensive and not too happy. So I want them to share those stories. I want Josh to share his experience with calling the Morton County Sheriff's Department. I think it's really frustrating what I've shared to you so far. What I wanted Josh and Russell to be able to get on the phone, and Robin to be able to get on the phone and talk to you about, is the frustration that we have been all feeling. Me trying to find out where Mary is, if Mary is, how Mary is, trying to just verify the status of her well-being, because no one seems to know. And Melanie is saying that she is at death's door. The frustration of Russell, the frustration of Josh, the frustration of Robin and other witnesses that have been trying to get a hold of law enforcement to give their statements, to give their witness of what they saw, and not being able to communicate with law enforcement. That is very frustrating. The lack of response from the hospital, combined with the lack of response from the police department, and the fact that this woman and her family are still separated, that Kathleen is still sitting in a jail cell. It is of the most crazy making type of frustration that one can feel, because you would think, at least one hopes, that in 2017, we could find out whether or not one of our loved ones is safe, that there is a system in place to protect them from the kind of kidnapping that has taken place, that our law enforcement system and our investigators would be doing a job such that they would have by now figured out, with all the evidence out there, the magnitude. I think we might be having a call. Hey, is everybody there? So we're having some technical difficulties, so I'm just going to have you share right now. Josh, please talk about, this is Josh Long. He's one of the witnesses that was visiting with Kathleen and her family in their tarpy, in Russell's tarpy, in Mary's tarpy, at camp. And you were there on December 6th when Bill Renningfisher claims to have found this woman. you've given us your statements in the past. What did you say to Morton County's Josh Selle on your call or your message?
So I was really, really brief about it. I just wanted him to get in touch, and I wanted to know what it was on. So I just gave him my name, my phone number, and the case number for Kathleen.
Okay.
And I repeated the case number twice, so that way, you know, he could hear it. And I also said my phone number and my name again, so if you could get touch to me ASAP, that'd be great. And that was on Friday, last Friday, January 20th. So I haven't heard back from him yet.
And, you know, it's possible that, you know, the weekend might have interfered with him being able to get back to you. But, I mean, this is an urgent situation. This is a...
Oh, I agree.
This is very frightening when you are trying to find out how you can get someone who's been in jail for weeks now and someone who's been separated that has dementia, like Mary, and is sitting in a hospital, or God knows where, from her family, how you can get her back reunited with her family, and you have to sit for days wondering when somebody's going to get back to you.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's kind of been the frustration with trying to do everything by the book and do everything right, especially with Morton County so far, has just mostly just been that we haven't really gotten a whole lot of response. You know, we've left voicemails, and I wasn't the only one who left a voicemail for Deputy Selle either. So, you know, we're just waiting to get in touch because we just want to speak with him, and we just want to let him know, you know, that there's, you know, other witnesses out there that saw something different on December 6th at two different times in the day. And, you know, they have an innocent person in jail right now.
I mean,
that should be one of their biggest concerns they have all weekend, I think. But, you know,
You would think that the way in which they blew up this story of elder abuse in the Bismarck Tribune, the kind of visibility that they gave it nationwide, because it was just a story of elder abuse. Yes, it had to do with Standing Rock, and yes, it conveniently fit the propaganda that was being put forth by the conservative media in our state about Standing Rock and the people there. But it was really broadly publicated, and it was just and circulated. So it makes me wonder, like, why something that of such high visibility with so many people concerned about it would be responded to in such a kind of like ho-hum fashion.
Yeah, I think that was one of the things that struck me as odd when I first saw that story roll out a few hours after we found out Kathleen had been arrested at Morton County and it was under lockdown. Because you were still doing a live stream when we found out that Morton County was on lockdown, which didn't know why. And that was the same day Dean got out, the 48th. So, you know, there was a lot happening on that day. And, you know, just from where we stood, it was like we were behind in timeline in terms of being able to help, because now they had these two people who are coming forward, you know, Bill Running Fisher, and then Bill Running Fisher names Melanie Stoneman in the criminal complaint. And, you know, Josh Selle is named in the affidavit. And, you know, neither of these three people bothered to present any kind of real hard evidence or timelines as to when they find, you know, Mary allegedly, what they find when they get there. There's just a lack of evidence all the way through. So it's like they just kind of rushed and dumped the ball, you know, dumped the gun, so to speak. And they put someone in jail without having concrete proof that this person, you know, is even involved in any kind of crime. And the people who brought the claim up to begin with don't really have any credibility because they don't come from a medical background, let alone their timelines, you know, dissolve when you start, you know, cross-examining them and asking them questions, saying, well, you're, you know, this person that worked with you on the ground says this, and then they say a completely other thing, and they said last week. It just gets to be really, really confusing and starts to become a huge time suck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to find the truth, and a lot of that gets to be infuriating. So from our perspective, it's like, well, let's just reach out to the police directly and say, hey, look, we have information on this case. Just here's our information. You know, here's our number. Like, please get in touch with us. But, you know, we haven't gotten anything yet. So still waiting for that call. I'll be around.
Yeah, I wanted to reiterate to my listeners that on January 19th, which was the day that Mulaney called, that you just heard a clip from that call and told me that Mary is dying, that she is not doing well, and that they almost lost her the weekend before. On that same date, she told me she had just completed her statement to Josh Selle's. This is the first time that she gives her statement to Morton County on January 19th. This is a full month plus days after Mary was taken to the hospital on December 17th. It is incredible to me that she doesn't ever talk to the police until December 19th, and yet she is named personally in the criminal complaint and given guardianship over this woman, over Mary.
Yeah, and that's what confuses me about the story where, you know, in a couple of those earlier live streams we did about this, we talked about how in some press sources, Melanie Stoneman's listed as a medic. She herself calls you even this week still claiming that she's a medic but doesn't have EMT certifications or she's not an RN or an RA, doesn't have a PhD. You know, so I get what people mean when they say I've been, you know, functioning in a medical, you know, support capacity at camp. Like, that makes a lot of sense. That's something to be proud of. But I think blowing the lines between that and a medical professional is kind of dangerous to do, especially for someone who's, you know, older and needs to have constant care, not just, you know, putting someone in a hospital and forgetting them.
Yeah. And I know that this has been incredibly difficult for you, Russell. And one of the hardest calls I have had to make was to tell you that information because I knew how devastating it would be for you emotionally to hear that. But I wanted you to just comment about what you have tried to do to find out about the welfare of your grandmother. I know it's very frustrating because you haven't gotten many answers, but share with the public what you've done.
Really, you know, been searching through many outlets, trying to find out her whereabouts. And I mean, some sources tell us that she's in a nursing home. The rest of the sources say she's at the hospital, which the hospital is very plausible. It's what they're still going with, and that's where my grandma has been. And hope she's not in this condition, but if she is in this condition, it wouldn't take her to a nursing home. So, but when we reach out to the hospital through many sources, we get nowhere. She's on the same floor, same room, and everything. And I mean, we've been going through this with them since the beginning. I mean, my grandmother was fine. I mean, yeah, she had her issues. She's 18 years old. She had a urinary issue that she was always really keeping track of. My mom was the primary care, so she did most of that work. And, you know, she's taken care of, and then all this stuff starts happening, and then, you know, before we were removed, she's dying. She only had a certain amount of time left. And, you know, there was no crazy red flags. It was just about getting her better from her bacterial infection that she acquired because of her urinary problem. And, I don't know, just being put in the dark all the time and just being diverted, it's very, very hard to deal with. It's very frustrating, but, you know, with everything that's going on, there's still a procedure and a process that everyone must go through, and that's what we're working hard to achieve. And, you know, guardianship is trying to be taken by multiple family members. The goal is to, as fast as we can, get her to a safe place. And, you know, and I appreciate all the help that I'm getting from all my family and my close supporters. And, you know, so whatever works the best, we're working hard for that. She needs to be around family. She needs to be around memories. You know, she's a lively woman. She comes to life and she's around her culture, and she's in good spirits and good health. When she was at that camp, doctors and medics cleared her. They said she was okay. There was no serious harm. As long as she was in a warm, safe place, she was okay. And towards the end, it was all about getting her out of that place because it became very unsafe with the weather conditions, but she never left her tarpy. She was constantly in a warm space, food brought to her, taken care of, always trying to make her smile, always just trying to enjoy the moment, you know, because so that's really what it's all about. And so that's such a terrible thing happened in such a beautiful place. When we first arrived there, it was peaceful. It was rejuvenating. It was spiritual, and, you know, our culture knows this, but many other cultures were learning it, and it was a beautiful movement, and to see what happened from it based off of falsified stories is really just unreal, that something like this can have created such a dark path for my family and myself. But we are working hard, and I do appreciate all the support from all of you and everyone listening and tuning in. Thank you all.
Thanks, Russell. I did want to ask you, you've made an attempt to have a welfare check done on your grandmother, especially after Melanie made this call and told us about this. What was the response that you got?
Ideally, you know, I gave my information as well, a phone number, and basically said I was concerned about my grandmother and her well-being, and I wanted to ensure her location, that was she was somewhere safe and that she was being taken care of. I wanted visual proof because it's something that, you know, we haven't been able to achieve. So, I've called in, and the dispatcher got my information and, you know, kind of started questioning me about it. And I gave her the information, the location, you know, and I just basically requested that however possible, you know, just to get a wellness check. And, you know, ultimately it led to like a little mini interrogation, and ultimately them telling me can't help me in this matter. And because, and they did know about the situation because they mentioned it being in the news, and that, oh, maybe because of who I am, I can't be told any information due to my, I don't know, relation, being a witness. I'm someone who did nothing wrong. And I'm just really concerned for my grandmother. And, you know, I stated that. And, you know, ultimately, they told me I need to get an attorney and stuff like that. So I was just like, okay, thank you, you know.
Wow. That's really frustrating because you're a family member. So because you love your grandma, you want to know how she is, and you're the only one that can't find out about her. Well, apparently none of us can find out about her because I tried to call and see if she was even at the hospital and they wouldn't tell me anything either.
Yeah, I know in due time we'll be able to, you know, at least find out that she's okay and safe, and that's what we want, and we're working hard for it. So I just pray.
Tell us also, if you could, because I know people want to know how your mom is doing.
My mom's doing, you know, she's hanging in there. She's, she's doing as well as she can, being in jail. You know, she's a strong-spirited woman. You know, my grandmother was a strong-spirited woman. And she, you know, they all spent time with each other. And so she's hanging in there. You know, we're doing all necessary means, going through all necessary procedures. And, you know, hoping that bringing this to the public's eye, we can get more help and more support and, you know, in areas where, you know, most people don't get in cases like this. So, and, but as far as that, she's hanging in there, you know.
Well, Russell, I want you to know that we're not going to stop digging until we find the truth, and we're not going to stop fighting until your family is reunited. We're going to continue to ask our listeners and our followers to support your family, to keep their eyes glued on this story, to share it with as many people as possible so that this injustice can finally be over. And please, if you can, donate. If you can't, share the link so that others may donate. Share the story and lift up in prayer this family that has been suffering one of the saddest holiday seasons I could imagine for a family would be at the time when everyone else is together, to be ripped apart in the way that your family was. Russell, I thank you for being with us. You too, Josh. Thanks for joining me on this very special update about Mary Trujillo on a Mexican crossing lines. You've been listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airways. Thank you for standing with the people of Standing Rock. This is a way that you can all help. Mini Wachoni, water is life.